The Sharpshooters, episode 34, January 11th, 2006. Welcome, everybody, to the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. We do a podcast about wrestling that happens in wrestling for the week. We do a bi-weekly show, I guess. If you didn't know, now you know.
Twice a week, but do we consider it one show or two shows?
It's two shows because we release...
I know, because we release one day and then the other on another day because after we see the other...
Our release dates, and we have been really consistent with this, is on Wednesdays and on Saturdays. So you get...
Every Saturday. Sometimes we have to squeeze a Sunday in there.
It's been a while since we squeezed a Sunday. So
last week we squeezed a Sunday.
For all you new listeners, let me just break it down. On the Wednesday show, you will have the TNA Impact report and also the Raw report and whichever pay-per-view that might occur on the Sunday preceding the Monday. On the Saturday show,
don't forget about the news and the email.
The news,
on
that's
Monday.
Let me finish.
Okay.
On the SmackDown show, you're guaranteed the SmackDown report, any reviews that we may give.
Wait a minute. You're calling it the SmackDown show?
The SmackDown report.
I said
on the Saturday show, you will get the SmackDown report.
Oh, I thought you said on the SmackDown show.
See, you just don't listen to me when we talk.
No, I really don't.
Now, on the Saturday show, you'll get the SmackDown report, whatever item that we may review that concern wrestling if we do a review, and our top five. But on both episodes, you will get the latest updates and news and happenings in the world of wrestling. Now, with that out the way, one more thing. Our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. That's where you can get and find our feed, find ways to subscribe to the show. Also, I have placed a link on the site so you can click and please vote for us at Podcast Alley so we can get more listeners.
By the way, it's the new look site, apparently.
It's not really.
It's white and blue, though.
It's more...
It doesn't have that powder blue that
we got a long way to go. I was up late one night, decided to play around with Photoshop and edit the site a little bit. Did my best. Marcus had to come in and help me. I hope you guys like it. Whatever. Now, our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. No, I just said our website. You can also find that on the website. Now, with that out of the way, I guess it's really time to get into the show. Are you ready, Mark?
Hold on. Isn't there something we're forgetting?
No.
You're not going to put the poll up that we discussed? What did you forget?
There might be a poll up on the site later
totally
on
forgot.
This week. All right, so now.
You totally forgot.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I think we can jump into the show. We can just jump into the meat.
All right. The first news article, probably the biggest story of the week, is WWE has suffered a streak of injuries. The biggest injury going on right now is that the World Heavyweight Champion, Batista, has suffered another injury. As we reported in an earlier episode, he had torn a lat muscle in his back that he was supposed to go get surgery for. Due to a double choke slam that he took from Kane and Big Show. He decided to work through his injury. But recently of this week, in a SmackDown house show versus Mark Henry, he suffered a torn tricep, and he will be out of action indefinitely. He was supposed to go see Dr. James Andrews about his injury, but unfortunately, Dr. James Andrews had a heart attack.
Oh, that's not right.
So it kind of prolonged the situation. So the status of Batista is really unknown, and also... there will be a title change on this Friday SmackDown. If you don't know already, check WWE website.
They really spoiled it.
And they can check and see who the new champion is going to be.
Let me tell you this. I was spoiled by Ryan first, who you spoiled for him. And then anybody who goes to their site will be spoiled to find the champion. Because they have the champion on the cover like, oh, he wins the title on Tuesday.
See, Marcus, why you say he? Could have been a woman.
Oh, yes. Trish Stratus and Mickie James really won that. Or Victoria.
Anyway, let's stop talking about it before somebody slip up and say, but if you want to know who the champion is before Friday, go to WWE.com. We're not going to spoil that. Another injury that's in the WWE is Kid Cash. As we reported in the last episode, they thought it was just a bruised arm. Unfortunately, he did break his arm in Deep South Wrestling. So this really sucks for the simple fact that he is the Cruiserweight Champion. And who else to give the belt to right now?
Because who is fired?
I mean, the perfect time for Rey Mysterio to step in and get the belt.
And they really have a strong...
But I was thinking, Marcus, with Batista being out and the new champion, doesn't this kind of set it up perfect for Rey Mysterio to face this person at WrestleMania for the belt?
I hope not.
Just think about it.
I see it,
because, you know, it's like... Because you would...
I don't want to see that.
I couldn't believe Rey Mysterio beating Batista, but Rey Mysterio could defeat the current champion. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And if they would, I'm just saying, it's a possibility. Now, the next news story.
They could look. If Rey Mysterio could jump in for the Cruiserweight title, they could give it to the Redneck Messiah, who pretty much has like the same gimmick as Cash.
Jamie Noble.
They could give it to Kendrick in London. I'll be happy with that. Psychosis. As Super Crazy, I believe they can probably get it. Although they're not really, really cruiserweights anymore, I think you can still give it to them.
Okay, is that? There's a lot they can do.
Also, there's another suggestion on the cruiserweight division. Why don't they make it interpromotional?
I think a both belts, the women's belt and a cruiserweight belt, should be interpromotional.
They should be both shows because look, you can put Gregory Helms in there. He's a cruiserweight pretty much. Well, Tajiri's gone. Chavo Guerrero, and then you had a cruiserweight to SmackDown, or you could just put those guys on SmackDown.
It's a lot they can do. Yeah. But it seems like right now WWE is kind of going in the right direction. This last week Raw was pretty good. It was good. Marcus, you don't like nothing, and I'll get it because I have a rant. I have a rant on you.
You can always have a rant on me.
And I have a problem with you. But now getting into Raw this week. Were you watching Raw like us and waiting for Edge to have sex and he's in the ring having sex and then all of a sudden your screen goes black and then it comes back? Do you want to know why the screen went black?
Yes.
Lita's nipple was exposed for 2 seconds on television. Now, granted, unless you have TiVo, you cannot see this.
Did you see it?
I saw it on TiVo.
I got to check your TiVo.
The nipple is out. Edge pulled the cover back too much.
I was actually considering going back, but then I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now she reminded me, I gotta go back.
So, pretty much, some viewers, they got the black screen.
Mm-hmm.
Other viewers, they got a shot of the audience. But some probably said it was footage from 1997.
Yeah.
And other people just showed the nipple.
Yeah, and I was in the UK.
But the point is...
Because they have naked news.
But the point is, though, you couldn't see the nipple unless you have a TiVo. I thought that was entertaining.
Jenny Jackson stuff.
Yeah, Nipplegate 2, I call it.
Cause Lita isn't big enough to Jenny Jackson.
She's bigger than she. Oh well.
Not talking about breast size.
I just think nipples.
I'm talking about. I guess celebrity stature, and this was on cable instead of CBS.
Yeah, and I was reading reports that normally when they have the divas do spots like this, they make them wear the black tape.
Yeah,
for some reason, Lita didn't want to wear the black
tape. Because Lita, I guess, said, I can pull it off.
Man, they went really far in that sex scene. I'll get into it more.
We'll get into it later.
All right, the next story is Rob Van Dam will be returning at the Royal Rumble. It was announced at Raw. For those RVD fans, big news. I'm happy to say it. Now, let's just hope that he doesn't get buried again in a bad storyline.
But they should do. They should let him win the Royal Rumble.
That's always my opinion. I'm sorry to say, I think I already know who's winning the Royal Rumble.
Yes, everybody knows who's winning the Rumble.
Because he's right. When he guarantees something, he does
it. Yes, let's just go.
All right. The next story is, this one man has a talk with Joy Styles.
Lot of news.
Yeah, it wasn't a slow week. Vince spoke with Joey about 2 weeks ago prior to a Raw discussing how he was announcing the show. Joey has been very vocal in the past about some of the Raw's over-the-top storylines, kind of like the sex in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been happy with the extreme storylines.
He's overblown. I'm sexually harassing you. I may kill you. No, that's my son. It's the type of storylines. That's the storyline he's talking about. I agree. I'm sick of this.
What?
He's very over the top. I'm going to kill you for raping me or sexual harassing me. And let's have sex in the ring or I hate America storyline.
I was intrigued by sex in the ring.
No, everybody was intrigued. Apparently, the sex in the ring.
The highest rated segment of this year
and probably last year.
5.2, I heard.
5.2, which I don't really understand the rating system because a lot of good shows get canceled due to this rating system.
This has to be my favorite. This next story is my favorite story. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, Hemsley or whatever, buy a bus.
No, what about them being pregnant?
Stephanie McMahon is pregnant.
With a bus?
With Triple H, baby. And Triple H and Stephanie purchased a tour bus that cost over $2 million to fit their needs while they're on the road. The bus is said to have a living room, a bar, a bedroom, a kitchen, and was described as a small mansion.
A small mansion on wheels.
Now, the question is, was this Stephanie's money, Triple H money, or was it Daddy Vince money?
Eric, it has to be Vince money. I mean, she doesn't have a job other than working with Vince.
Mark, she's the billionaire princess, though. You never know, she might save her money.
But it's Vince money that she's saying.
I really want to go to the website and see the pictures of this bus. I want them to have they should call the bus the Sledgehammer.
The big news is that Stephanie is pregnant, and then there's going to be a little game. I can't wait to see that baby erupt from the womb and be like, spewing out blood.
Hey, Marcus, he's going to be in the classroom. I want an A, and I said I'm going to get an A. No matter what, I don't care about.
He's going to show footage. Marcus, like he did
Marcus,
last week.
Don't let him give a report in class because he's going to rebel over 20 minutes about nothing.
Instead of getting to meet and then waiting for somebody like little John Cena, somebody right in there.
You can't see me.
Yeah, and all that. It's going to be never ends for little game.
All right. And my last news story is, some wrestlers no-showed at a live event. On a SmackDown house show in Elmira, New York, The Undertaker failed to show up, and he was involved in the main event against Randy Orton.
Ooh.
Do you think that's why we haven't seen Undertaker? I'm assuming it had to be a good reason why The Undertaker didn't show up. He's not Jeff Hardy.
No, and he hasn't never had locker room problems before.
And what also makes it kind of weird is also missing was Batista. Due to his injury, of course, but also JBL and Booger T.
Booger T's hurt.
No, but JBL and Booger T, but they didn't know if they were even scheduled to be there. Mm-hmm. But, okay, Booger T still can come out.
Yeah. So, the SmackDown's having problems pretty much with the wrestling.
Well, I don't think it was problems. I think maybe it was some traffic issues or something like that. I'm not really sure, but I think if it was something more serious, they would report on it. Mm-hmm. And plus, I think the WWE has a lot more problems to deal with than...
I know, all these injuries.
And isn't it kind of funny after the new drug policy come into place, injuries started to happen?
Can you stop accusing wrestlers
I'm not accusing them of doing anything.
Performing enhancements or human growth hormones.
All right. Well, it's not time for me and Martin to get sidetracked right now on the news. So, we're going to take our first break of this show. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with a TNA Impact report. Hope you guys enjoyed that brief break right there. Just want to let you guys know that this episode, the music is provided by the PodSafe Music Network. And you can find them at music.podshow.com. The artist for today's episode is called Serpent of Eve. And his song is called Trouble. So if you like their song and their music, feel free to go to the PodSafe Music Network and check on it. We will have a link in our show. Now that I got over the promo part, or the ad that we really don't have.
The free pay program.
It's time to get back into the show.
The spam of the show.
Man, I don't want to be called spam. Spam is so bad.
It's so evil. It's so maniacal.
It's bad. Spam went from being a can of fake ham that's in salty water.
That didn't taste that bad until I realized.
Man, our grandma made us eat spam, man. Do you know there's a restaurant where you can get spam? L&L Hawaiian Barbecue.
Yeah, man. I remember a while ago I used to eat spam.
Anyway, this is not the spam podcast, I think there is a spam podcast.
Yeah, but
out
we're
there.
Not spammy or so, anything like that.
No, Mark, it's really a spam.
No, but I mean, we're not spammy.
All right, so now.
So wait, this is spam podcast, right? Hold on. Do they just spam on you?
They probably just talk about recipes for spam. Because, do you know there's a national cookbook?
Oh, you're talking about that type of spam. I thought you were talking about spam. No. Like, oh, we're going to spam you show. All right, go to Netflix.com or go to Circuit City and all that. Look, you can win $100. Give it to me again if you buy this Viagra.
And then you guys see why we took that break? You see how easily we get sidetracked? We're talking about spam. Anyway, now it's time to get back into the show.
Spam, Eric.
All right. The first match, this TNA Impact aired January 7, 2006. God knows when it was taped. The first match was Team 3D versus Lex Luvett and Buck Quarterman. Now, before we even get into the details of this match, I know they've been saying that D-Von's been working out. He still looked fat to me.
Yeah, but it takes time for him to get back in shape. D-Von looks okay. I have no problem with D-Von not in shape as much, but Bubba's just gone. He's a lost cause, man. He's into that. I'm not getting out the couch category.
and then the worst part about this was like a squash tag team match. They got in the ring. They beat up Mr. Lovett and Mr. Quarterman. Then they just hit Lex Lovett with the 3D for the win. And then Brother Way grabs the mic.
Yes, and how many squash matches are they going to have? I mean, every match they fought on Impact, they pretty much dominated and...
I don't know.
Uncanny fashion.
Brother Ray grabs the mic and talk about the titles they have won in the other companies. He then says that when they win the NWA tag team title at the pay-per-view, this will complete their destiny. And then he went one step farther, where I think he crossed the line. He said they would give up all 18 tag title reigns just to be the NWA champs.
And that's when I cry BS.
I mean,
the NWA title is lost and gone from what it used to be.
I guarantee you right now, I bet you, if the Dudleys had the chance to be in WWE right now.
They actually have a major storyline.
They will still be there.
No, but if they got what they wanted, like a major storyline and, you know, better pay, they would still be there. They wouldn't be saying to you the NWA title, tag titles is the most important one. Although it used to have prestige history, NWA is pretty much dead.
So, also about this show.
I mean, when Jerry's your champion.
This TNA show is pretty much the dedication to Sting. So, throughout the whole show, they had a bunch of wrestlers talking about Sting. The first wrestler that talked about Sting was Sonjay Dutt. Sprinkle me.
By the way, the Sting Day? Why is there dedication to Sting?
Because he's coming, man.
So what, man? He's been coming for like a year now.
What I'm upset about, Sonjay Dutt ain't been wrestling on TV in how long? And he about to give a reason why he likes Stings. He says that Sting and how he will bring all the Sting fans to TNA. Also, how Sting being in TNA gives the stamp of approval that TNA is the new face in professional wrestling.
I'm sorry, that just means you're the old face.
You bring in Hulk Hogan, I think, even though they did that already once.
They tried or something like that, I don't remember.
I don't know if they ever brought him in, but still, I think they did and Jarrett beat him.
Something like that. But Jarrett beat everybody.
I don't think bringing in Sting puts you to that level yet. No. I think when you bring in a established star that's right now, like let's say if you bring in a Triple H.
No, I'll say if you bring in like Chris Jericho right now.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho, if you would have brought in RVD, because I think he just had contract disputes in recently in the end of the year, I think. You know, somebody that's been established and that it has you and that hasn't been around for generations. I mean, Hogan's 80s, man.
This is no knock on Christian, but Christian did not hold an individual title in WWE.
Yes, he did, Intercontinental.
Okay.
Tag title.
Okay, now look at this.
But Christian had cred. I agree with them getting him. That's a good
Christian,
one.
Christian, I just wonder now he looked back at his friend Edge is like, damn, now he's a world champ.
Nah, because he wasn't going nowhere. He is what Matt Hardy is now on SmackDown.
I think they have big things for Matt Hardy.
I doubt it.
All right, so after they showed Sonjay, they went to commercial. They came back, and Shane Douglas is backstage with Jeff Jarrett,
the man formerly known as the Franchise. You got to throw that in there.
Okay, America's Most Wanted and Team Canada, Gail Kim. Jeff talks about the tribute that TNA management is paying to Sting, and then he asks them, have they ever had a tribute paid to them? They've been in TNA this long. Have they ever got a tribute?
Now, here's the question. Every week, I have to agree with Jeff Jarrett about TNA management. It's just, I don't like Jeff Jarrett.
But he makes some valid points.
He be making some valid points about what the hell is TNA management doing. Like a dedication thing. This man been NWA champion 100 times already. Lost to every newcomer and wins it back on that newcomer every single week. And he hasn't got one tribute show.
So pretty much, he steps up and say that, you know what? We're going to join the bandwagon. We're going to give our own tribute to Sting also.
Which is a good idea.
And that's when he asks where Scott D'Amore. And he sends, I can't remember exactly who he sent to go look for.
But Scott D'Amore came
right. He came right there and was like,
he was right there next to you.
And Scott D'Amore was like, hey, I ran to Jackie Gator and she handed me this letter. Should I be worried, boss? Jeff's like, no, no worries, no worries. Then Scott D'Amore admitted to a crime. He opened the man's mail, read the letter. He was like, I read some of the letter. And then it talks about Canada. And then it was like a hush. What happened in Canada? Isn't that where they screwed Raven?
It's something like, I don't know. I don't know what happened in Canada.
I don't know.
Brett got screwed in Canada. Well, I know. I don't remember anything in Canada.
All right. So now the next thing that happens on TNA, it's time for us to meet Conan's new crew. So Conan, Apollo and Homicide come out to the ring, and apparently they're going to be facing the Naturals. Conan gets on the mic and announces there's a new crew called the Latin American Exchange.
The L-O-W?
The L-A-E, Marcus.
Oh, I know, but I'm just talking about the L-W-O. That's what we're speaking about.
While this match is going on between Apollo and the Naturals.
Did the match ever start?
Yeah, it started. Mike today mentions that Bullet Bob Armstrong needs surgery after attack by Conan and the crew. Now,
that's a good attack when you make a man get surgery.
So, during the match, I don't know why, the match was what, no more than 2 minutes?
It couldn't have been no more than 2 seconds.
Anyway, Conan hops in the ring, punches the ref for no good apparent reason.
Although that is legal, TNA.
Then he pulls out a blackjack. That's what TNA kept calling it. It looked like it was just a black sock with something inside of it. And he was hitting people upside the head like Homie the Clown. Knocking out the Naturals.
And that's what Conan does.
Yeah. Then he kept
what did they call it again?
A blackjack.
No, not the
oh, the Latin American Exchange.
Couldn't they came up with something better?
I think it's kind of disrespecting the Latin Americans. Y'all all thugs and beat people up.
Nah, come on. You got the Mexicos. No,
the Mexicos are cool, though. See, they start off as bad guys, but then people start cheering the Mexicos.
I was cheering them before because they were like, hey, Mexicans.
So anyway, Conan is beating down the Naturals with this blackjack. Kip and BG James, because they married, they shared a last name.
I don't know.
They run out for the save, but Conan is getting the best of the Road Dog. Mm-hmm. And then Kip gets a chair and clears out the ring and they walk off. So, my biggest issue with this match is
that Kip and BG
no,
have the same last
I
name?
Have nothing about Kip and BG. Okay. I have nothing about the Latin American Exchange. I'm upset what they're doing to the Naturals. The Naturals were the tag team champions.
Well, they didn't actually lose, Eric. Come on. They didn't lose. This ain't got nothing to do with them. So Martin, they go out there and get beat up.
But the point is, these guys used to be a number one contender. They held the belt. They haven't. Seemed like to me, TNA has a rematch clause that they did not invoke.
No, I think they got their rematch.
I don't know.
I think they got their butt whipped by AMW again.
All right. After that is another Sting segment.
Can I get back on why is BG and Kip have the same last name? Why do they have the same last name? Is there not another name they could have gave old Kip? Or a BG with the those are some frustrating names.
Mark, stop getting so close to the mic because you keep spiking it.
Oh.
Your high voice.
Oh, sorry. But how?
I don't know. And it's like, was this premeditated? I'm not sure.
Let's go.
All right, Chris Sabin talks about Sting. He says that the most memorable moment about Sting is when Sting came back to face Hulk Hogan and he was no longer the 80s version of Sting, but he was the black and white crow version of Sting and how he beat Hogan for the title.
Still again. Oh, you can go.
I have nothing really to say about
still
that.
Still again. I don't give a damn.
Not really.
That's so old ancient history about him being the crow. Although it was a nice Sting moment.
Now,
I just don't care.
The next segment
anymore.
To me didn't really make much sense to me. They came back from commercial and I believe Shane Douglas was in front of Larry Zbyszko's office. All of a sudden, Jackie Gator comes rushing out, hollering at Larry Zbyszko, like, you gonna do something, you gonna whatever, blah, 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 blah. Then all of a sudden, she just walks away, and then Larry Zbyszko is confronted by Austin Aries, Roderick Strong, and Alex Shelley. First of all, I thought Austin Aries was a good guy. Apparently not. He's a bad guy.
Well,
now.
I've always thought of him being a bad guy. But he had that evil look in his eye, like, yeah.
And then he said that they demand, all three of them, that they get some respect from TNA management. He said, I bet you if we were AJ Styles or Christopher Daniels, they would have some time for them. Mm. Why ain't not on the show and all that? Next thing you know, they're interrupted by Jerry Lynn talking about they need to get focused on their match tonight because they're fighting Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, and Chris Sabin.
Where did Jerry Lynn come from?
I have no idea.
I haven't seen Jerry Lynn, I don't know how long. When did he become in charge of
I just remember Jerry Lynn made a brief stint in WWE. He showed up, had like two matches, and disappeared.
I just remember him having great matches with RVD. That's it with Jerry Lynn.
Is it time to move on to the next match?
It's time.
Now, I'm going to stamp this match the worst damn match of the night.
Was it? I don't even remember the match.
You know what? It wasn't a match to me. It was stupidity.
All right, just go.
Ron Killings versus Bobby Roode.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
For some reason, Ron Killings get two quick victories on Bobby Roode. And for somehow, some way, a wrestler was able not to demand one rematch, but two rematches.
I haven't seen nothing this crazy since Triple H.
But in the same night. Triple H ain't never did it in the same night.
Yeah.
Not two rematches. Actually, not two rematches.
I don't know if there maybe were one rematch. He may have just called another match.
But then he gets his rematch, and Bobby Roode wins the third match. But he wins it with a clothesline to the back of Ron Killings' head while he was distracted by the hockey stick that Scott D'Amore threw in the ring. Now, in my opinion, this hurts Bobby Roode. It took the man three times to beat Ron Killings.
But as he said, he wasn't ready.
I don't care if he was ready or not. The dude celebrated like he won all three matches.
Yeah, it was like an old situation. And the thing is, what stopped K-Quick, Ron Killings, the truth, from saying, you know what, let me get that one
let
back.
Let me get my rematch.
Let me get my rematch back.
Yeah, did the clothesline knock him out that much?
I don't know.
It was a stupid spot. I think with Three Live Crew being broken up, they have nothing to do with the truth no more.
They have nothing to do with the truth. And apparently they have nothing to do with really Bobby Roode unless they're starting to feud with him and Ron Killings.
I don't know.
Are they? Did they look like they were starting to feud with him? I think I can see that a brewing.
Then it's time for AJ Styles to talk about Sting. And he just said the coolest thing about Sting was when he went from the 80s Stings to the Crow Sting.
Didn't Logic Gum just say that?
No, Chris Sabian was talking about when he beat Hogan, he came back as the Crow. Yeah. A lot of people like the Crow Sting.
Yeah, that was but I like the 80s Sting because I enjoy
the pink, the bright pink.
The bright pink in color and the blonde hair is hilarious to me.
All right, that just because funny. I'm not going to comment on this, I'm going to move on to the next thing. Samoa Joe was interviewed by the franchise Shane Douglas. He was asking him all these questions, and then he finally got fed up and was like, you know what? I'm leaving this. I don't need this. As he was walking away, Joe grabbed his arm. And this is the first time I really heard Joe talk or do a promo, and it was pretty good. He says that he's bringing a new towel, his canvas, as he called it, to paint with Christopher Daniels' blood at the pay-per-view.
I got a good question. What? Does he bring a new towel every night?
I guess he does.
Just colored in already.
And said, also, doesn't he remember who prevented, he was speaking to Christopher Daniels, who prevented you from holding your newborn baby because you were in the hospital?
Ooh, that's a dirty shot. That's a shot, and nothing else you can say about that.
And then Shane Douglas, this was a very inappropriate question. I mean, he just talking about killing a man with blood and preventing him from holding his child.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Douglas going to ask him about Sting. Samoa Joe gave him the right response. He smirked at him and walked away. F Sting.
I mean, who? I don't care. There's nothing about me that's hyped about Sting's epic return on TNA, which he probably already has like 4 weeks ago or something. You know how they tape him. I just don't care.
Now it's time for the main event match of the night. That was Austin Aries, Alex Shelley, Roderick Strong versus AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and Chris Sabin. This was a good match. I like very good match.
Very good match. Matter of fact, best match of the night. Maybe runner-up for best match of the week.
Marcus was the only match of the night.
No, it wasn't. You had the Bobby Roode killing.
Can that match in like those matches? None of those matches. If you add them up together, you might get a 10-minute match. If you add all the matches preceding this main event, you might get.
But Bubba and Devon.
Marcus, shut up. Now, how this match ends is everybody pretty much jumps outside of the ring, but back inside the ring, Roderick Strong gives the gut buster to Chris Sabin. Then Chris Sabin somehow recovers from that. He tries to give the cradle shot to Roderick Strong, but he reverses because Shelly comes in and gives him the reverse DDT for the win. Now, that really doesn't sound like it made any sense. It really didn't make much sense to me when I
just
saw
say
it.
That Ari, Shelly, and
Strong
won against AJ, Daniels, and Sabin.
Yeah, they won.
They won, and it was a shocking victory. I didn't think that the Dream Team could lose twice of Christopher Daniels, the Fallen Angel, who's no longer wearing a collar, and AJ Styles can actually lose twice.
Now, it's time for Jeff Jarrett's tribute to Sting. Now,
here's your problem. What really grinds your gears?
No, it doesn't grind my gears because even though I do hate talking at the end of the show, I understand well-placed talking like sex in the middle of the ring. That's something I want to see at the end of the show. See how far you going to go. Jeff Jarrett, I don't know. He was talking.
I don't need Jeff Jarrett to be last the TNA.
And from what I understand is it was really excruciating for the people there because we got people at home got actually an edited version.
Edited down.
Which is beautiful. But they had to sit through the whole process. Pretty much, Jarrett asked the fans if they want to see Steam because he's been watching some idiots pay tribute to him. Then he calls out David Young, who was dressed like the 80s things, who looked just like him, pretty much.
Yeah, he did. That was a good. He looked just like him. Just pink pants, green paint, and all that, and blonde bleached hair. That was Steam.
Then he calls out the Wildcat Chris Harris, who is dressed as the Crow Sting.
Who looked like Sting.
Looked just like Sting. But I didn't understand why James Storm needed to be behind him in a chicken suit.
Because you had to do something with James Storm. You just can't take one member of AMWA. But the funniest part is him and the chick, they were just playing around. He was pointing the bat at the chicken. And then apparently at one point, all right, nobody get offended, the crowd started chanting, "Choke the chicken."
I thought it was funny that James Storm was still drinking his beer under the chicken suit. Yeah. He would lift up his head and take a drink. Then, this was the worst one. He calls Monty Brown out, who was dressed as the current Sting. And since no one knew what he looked like, they assumed he looked like this. He came out like a golf outfit, pushing a stroller with a wig with straight hair.
Yes, that was bad. But he actually sounded like Sting.
Yeah, that was a good point to Monty Brown. He sounded just like Sting from what I remember. Haven't heard Sting. All of a sudden, Chris Jericho comes out. Oh, sorry, not Chris Jericho.
But a countdown.
It was Christian Cage that comes out. Says that they're embarrassing themselves and they look like a bunch of jackoffs in the middle of the ring. He talks about saving money on his insurance, which was totally stupid.
That's so old and played. Then, it's only work when the Geico do it.
Then he introduces Team 3D. They come down to the ring. They start fighting, beating people up. Next you know, Abyss hops in the ring, beats them up. Then Rhino hops in the ring, gives the spear to Abyss. Then they go off the air.
Pandemonium breaks out like every week on TNA.
Pretty much.
That's been happening every week. Jarrett comes out and talks. He starts a big war. Everybody fights Jarrett and his crew. And I say okay, week of TNA, just enough squash matches. Let's have more real matches. Like I was prone to love in TNA, like the first week they had matches galore. Now they're talking more.
Now once again, I'm not going to ramble no more about this because we got to go to the next segment. The next segment is going to be really long because we're going to have the New Year's Revolution report and the Raw report merged together. So bear with me. So right now, if you guys need to take a bathroom break, whatever, this might be a good time to pause. We'll be right back with the New Year's Revolution Raw Report. Welcome back, everybody, to the WWE Report. I'm just going to call it that because it's the New Year's Revolution and the Raw Report. Now it's time. We're just going to give out the results, even though we did see New Year's Revolution. We're going to give you some insight on some of the matches that we saw that were kind of important and really pulled off some things. But we can't go into detail because if we go into detail, it's going to take forever.
It's a two-hour show. We're only supposed to go 110 minutes.
I think my biggest problem with this pay-per-view was the organization of the matches.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Some of the matches were just not organized incorrectly. The first match was Ric Flair versus Edge.
Woo!
Flair wins this match via disqualification because Edge hits Flair with the Money in the Bank. Now, which is kind of crazy, is that the announcers, by this match being first, it really gives away Edge was... No, I mean,
it doesn't give away.
After Edge gets it, how much they mention Money in the Bank, how much he uses the Money in the Bank, it really, to me, it spoils it. If you really go back and watch again,
but you have to go back and watch it again.
No, they really tried to give away what Edge was going to do, but they didn't do it because nobody thought about Edge doing it. Even when they cut backstage showing Edge talking to Lita, he was pondering doing something, but no one really suspects him using Money in the Bank right now.
You forget about Edge, which was a smart thing to do in the first opening match after beating Flair with the Money in the Bank thing.
Next match was Trish versus Mickey James. A basic woman's match.
You didn't even give it a winner in the Continental match.
I said that Flair wins via disqualification.
Okay. He got hit with the briefcase.
I said that.
To a bloody point.
I said that.
Okay.
All right. Next match, Trish versus Mickey James. Start listening to me. Trish wins with the Stratisfaction. Mickey James could have won this match numerous times, but being such a fan of Trish, she didn't do it. Don't know why.
Because she doesn't want to beat her idol, man. She doesn't want to beat her hero, her protege, her ally, somewhat lover. You don't want to do that.
Next match, Jerry Lawler versus Gregory Helms, which was actually a very good match. Only problem is, I don't think Lawler should have won. It should have been Gregory because losing to an announcer, come on. That has to kind of suck.
That's Jerry the King Lawler, a future Hall of Famer in professional wrestling.
And he won with
a legend indeed.
He won with the fist drop also.
Yes. He could have did the pile driver.
Now, the next match, this is where the match got really misorganized. It was Triple H versus the Big Show. Now, Triple H and Big Show put on one hell of a show.
It was okay.
It was, to me, it was an epic match. Big Show put on one of the best performances he's done in a long time. They told a very good story. The cast had an extra. To me, it was a good match. A very, very good match.
I said it was a good match. I don't say it's a great, excellent classic.
I think it was.
It was an instant classic.
I think it's one that Triple H made a DVD you can put on there. It was an entertaining match.
I won't say it's an instant classic, though. I said it's a good match.
Triple H wins this with help from the sledgehammer when Big Show goes for the chokeslam. This match, the next match, should have came before this match. Shelton Benjamin versus Viscera. First of all, how this match gets started is that Shelton's mom was walking around trying to find some food for Shelton. She goes into the food place and she bends over to pick some stuff up. Viscera walk in talking about, "I like all your junk in your trunk." But for some reason, his lights go dark and the music hit and he starts thrusting.
What happened?
My question is, she didn't notice that this stuff was going on while she was doing this?
Apparently not.
Whatever.
Mia is old and she doesn't need
anyway, Viscera's making an advance on her. And, well, it ends up Shelton versus Viscera. Shelton wins his match with Enziguri after Mama hits Viscera in the head with a brick in the purse. Mm-hmm. So, that was it.
The old school brick in the purse.
Now, the next...
They seen that in some movies.
Now, the next match actually surprised me because it was somewhat entertaining. True should have been this close to the main event, but it was. It was the Bra and Panties Gauntlet. Maria versus Candice Michelle, Tori, Victoria, and Ashley.
Now, I like to point out, nobody who started off the women's bra and panty gauntlet has never won at all.
I would like to say Maria was whooping ass, though. She was doing her best.
Maria was in the zone.
She was trying to win. Now, it was one flaw to this whole damn thing. And this marks this when you walked out because you didn't see this. Mae Young and the Fabulous Moolah came out to her and they stripped. I had to close my eyes.
See, I walked up as soon as I heard the music. I was like,
but they removed Victoria's top, and so Ashley comes out and like does a monkey flip and pulls off her pants, and Ashley wins the gauntlet. Next is the Elimination
Chamber.
They should
have Maria win this match.
Yeah, they should have.
Maria was the fan favorite by far.
The next was the Elimination Chamber. Too much to describe what was going on in this match. You had teamwork, you had treachery, you had deceit. It was a good match overall.
Wait, you gotta go over this. Before the match, Masters and Carlito has designed a deadly alliance. Vince in the locker room had also threatened wished Shawn Michaels good luck and said nobody's ever won the Elimination Chamber from start number one. And they should have gave Kane a stool.
Yeah, Kane was in there for a long time.
I mean, you're in there for like 30 minutes, you're standing up straight, you're the first one to come down to the ring, and you're the last one to come out the door without any type of stew, but I guess he prepared for this match very well.
All right.
And that's why he was eliminated.
And John Cena wins this match when Carlito decides that he's going to turn his back on Chris Masters.
Now, I don't understand the Deadly Alliance was working so well. Him and Masters, they had it. They had something. They could have been champion, the youngest champion.
I believe Carlito, it was an accident.
How do you decide, I got the champion in the mask lock, I give him a low blow from behind?
I don't know, it was an accident. So after that, you know, everybody thinks the pay-per-view is over. But to our surprise, Vince McMahon walks out and says, wait, raise up that damn cage. Raise up that damn cage. And he's like, Edge decides to cash in his Money in the Bank. Edge looking crazy, hands the briefcase to Vince.
Now, here's to be the funniest thing ever. Where's the contract that says you have Money in the Bank? You went through various briefcases, Edge. Where's your contract? Oh no, I lost the contract.
So he goes out to the ring, and John Cena's already a bloody mess, and he delivers two spears, wins 1, 2, 3, he's the new champion. It is kind of crazy. He got a lot of booze. Which was, it's pretty much, Raw was a very, very strange night.
Yeah, but look, here's the thing, Edge. Mixed reaction when he won the title. Oh, cheers for Cena when he retained the title. But during the match, apparently, he was booed for any offensive move he got on somebody. And if you touched Cena, you were cheered and labeled as a hero. And you also didn't go over Kurt Angle's speech.
There's no reason to say that he wanted us to lose the war in Iraq, hated black people, and if he can make one person go back in history, make one person tap out, it would be Jesus Christ.
And his favorite country was France, and no matter what he said tonight, he would still get chewed.
And the fools were cheering him at this
and
time.
And you cheered him! I cheered him. Which is sad, because he wasn't serious about those things, but he was just going over how hard it's been for him. This is trying to be the guy that's getting booed in the ring. But Cena's yet being the guy that's being booed and he's being cheered.
All right, so for me, this pay-per-view, the best matches of the night, Triple H versus Big Show, the Bra and Panty Gauntlet, can't believe I'm about to say that, and the Elimination Chamber. The worst matches, Shelton Benjamin versus Viscera.
Why?
God knows why you're putting Shelton versus Viscera. Was Rob Conway not a fan?
Why Viscera?
Then it was...
You can go...
They're going to say Trish and Mickey. That was... I just didn't care about that match.
You didn't care about many matches, did you?
No. Nah.
How could you pick one of your top matches as Mae Young coming out there?
I just blocked that part out. Now it's time for the Raw Report. Or do you want to pick your favorite matches?
I ain't got really much to say.
Okay.
Nothing different.
Now it's time for the Raw Report. This show opens with John...
Oh, wait. Shouldn't I get my expression of how I jumped in the air and was gallantly running down the streets in my underwear and shirtless talking about, go, Edge, go, you're the new champion. Screw you, Cena.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, the show Raw opens up actually showing highlights from the Elimination Chamber that made the Elimination Chamber seem really epic.
I mean, it was an hour-long entrance.
I was like, damn. And then all of a sudden, John Cena comes out. He admits that Edge defeated him for the title
last night. Wait. When he came out, mixed reaction again.
You know what? But the craziest thing, I heard more cheers, actually.
I heard it mixed. It was 50-50.
I heard more. Mars, your clouded mind heard mixed.
It's 50-50.
They were cheering for John Cena.
50-50.
Now, he gets in the ring. He said, also, he realized that a lot of people feel that he sucks. But there are fans that are still riding with him.
And then he decided to quote Allen Iverson.
He quotes Allen Iverson.
What do you, anybody quote Allen Iverson other than when they're not talking about practice?
He said, about 10 million fans may hate him, but he's doing it for the 1 million that loves him. That might not be the exact quote, but that's what he got across.
You really got screwed up.
It doesn't matter. He was ready to use his rematch clause tonight and whoops Edge ass. But then that Jezebel leader came out and said that he would not get his rematch tonight, but get it at the Royal Rumble because of oral persuasion towards Mr. McMahon to convince him to let the sex in him in the ring go over.
Out of curiosity, is there ever going to be a new general manager?
I don't know.
Because Vince apparently has just stepped in.
Then Cena got a pop after he said, people may think I suck, but everybody knows that you do. And got a little cheap reaction from Lita. That was pretty. It was a good segment. It was funny.
Lita on the mic.
To me, it was funny that he didn't get booed, even though Marcel was 50-50. It didn't sound that way to me.
No, I'm talking about when he first came out, it was 50-50. But it overwhelmingly became all about Cena. After he said it's not the cool thing to do down there, it's not the cool thing to do to boo him. He would get cheers and all the other jive and all that jive. Whatever you said. There you go.
Also, he told the 10 million people that hate him to kiss his ass.
Yes.
I totally forgot that.
This is the moment in which I wanted him to go out into a kid's face and say, kiss my ass because you booed me.
And see,
I want him to turn on the kids, Eric.
Now it's time for us to go into the show. And this is why I have my problem with Marcus, because I was watching wrestling with Marcus. Marcus dooms matches before they even start.
That's a lie.
No, you find out who's in it, and you're like, oh, that's going to be awful. So you don't go into it with an open mind.
I do, man.
You don't give the match a chance to be safe. You know what? We going to go on it. First match was Trish Stratus versus Ashley. And the first thing that came out, this is going to be awful.
What? It wasn't?
No. It was awful, but the point was, before the match even started, you already had a prediction of what the match was going
to
be.
They have a chance to persuade my mind. But
if you go in expecting something being bad, more than likely, it's going to be bad.
No matter what, you couldn't make this match good, Eric. I'm sorry, Ashley can't wrestle, Trish can't do much that either.
You know what?
What are you going to say about this match?
I'm going to say, let me describe what happened before I get my comments on the match.
Please describe what's going on in this match.
Trish was going out to the ring, but Mickie James, for some strange reason, was already inside the ring. She tells the replay truck to replay her music so the fans can give her a bigger standing ovation for some reason. Then Trish and Ashley get their match. They're doing very basic moves, headlocks, grapples, and turns.
No, it didn't come out as smoothly as you said it.
No, it didn't.
It was very ugly, just like I predicted before the match. This is going to be ugly. And what were they going technical for?
Ashley is learning how to wrestle.
She could have done a dropkick or something.
She doesn't know. Mark, let me see you do a dropkick.
I can do a dropkick.
Let me see you do a dropkick.
If Vince can do it, I'm not going to do a dropkick right now.
Exactly. She's trying to learn. I just feel that by her trying to learn, it's not a time to put this match on top of Raw.
You can't throw a hammerlock and try to do an armbar and then do a twist and...
And then for no good reason, Mickey hops in the ring and attacks Ashley. I think because Ashley did a DDT on Trish or something. I don't know, but Mickey was so irate that Trish had to pull her off of
Ashley.
And it just made no sense.
Maybe she apologized to Ashley.
My issue with Marcus is that he already doomed the match. Yes, he was right. The match was bad. But you just can't doom stuff before it happened. And the match, it continues throughout the night, people.
What? No, I'm serious. What? Who thought this match was going to be good, honestly?
It's not the point. You know what? When I see a match, I don't think it's going to be good or bad. I just let it happen.
There's no way you could have thought anything good could turn out like this. Like Shelton and Ventura. Who thought that match was actually going to have any relevance at all?
But I went in there. Like Marcus, like the Braun Panty Zonley. You doomed that match to hell. But it was actually somewhat entertaining.
What? I like the parts when we're in there. Then Ashley got in there.
Yeah, but it was somewhat entertaining.
It was somewhat entertaining.
And you doomed it to hell. She was like, nobody wants to see this shit. Excuse my language. That's what you said.
That's quote unquote. I don't want to see it.
But then you actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was okay. But that's the key point. Persuade me to like it.
Yeah, but I just think it's harder. It's harder to persuade somebody when you already come in there with a judgment.
No, I'm sorry.
No, that's like if you're on a jury, you walk in there, you already say, that fool is good.
That's why you don't put me on the jury.
That's the problem, because you walk in already, he's guilty.
No, I would, honestly, if it was a jury, I would go through the facts and everything.
I don't think
since I am the only jury, and I am the only vote, I'm the only one who gets to judge this match right now. And I say this match is going to get an F before I even realize it.
And
this
I
sway me.
And I, that's why I say it was a mistrial, even though it was a bad match.
Eric, did you see how she struggled on the orange
Marcus,
and then the headlock?
She is trying.
Yeah, but it was awful.
Marcus, I'll give you one question. Christy Hemme or Ashley?
Christy Hemme.
Wow.
She was
now, let's shut up about this.
She had a hurricane running.
Marcus, you're going to get back into the more, because I'm going to clown you some more.
Okay.
Backstage, they found, this is where they showed the video of RVD coming to the Royal Rumble. My question is, we had numerous qualification matches for the Royal Rumble. Is it because Rob Van Dam been out, he doesn't have to qualify?
He's established as Triple H is established as Kane.
Oh, yeah, like Triple H. No, Kane
had to qualify, yes.
Triple H just said he was
in. Yeah, I'm in the Royal Rumble.
Okay, then after they showed a video, Vince is congratulating Cena on an Elimination Chamber victory, but he said it's kind of bad that he had to lose the edge like he did.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said that he was excited about sex in the middle of the ring because it would be the first in Raw history, and he loved seeing first
actually,
in Raw history.
It'd be a first in all, I guess, national cable television. In which there's live sex in the middle of a wrestling ring.
Yeah, and then he decided that he was going to mess with Cena like he messes with Shawn Michaels. He told Cena that if he interfered, he would lose his rematch at the Royal Rumble. And then Cena was like, man, I wouldn't do anything like that, dog. I want to see this just as much as you want to see it. And that's how
I like to cry Boger Dash.
And then after this, the greatest segment in wrestling in a long time happened.
I'm really giddy about this. I don't even know what segment it is.
Chris Masters came in and choked the hell out of Carlito.
He looked like Popeye.
He looked like Mr. Incredible from The
Incredible. He always looks like Mr. Incredible, but this week he looks like Popeye.
He's like, oh, ain't gonna turn me into this.
I am what I am.
He wrinkled up Carlito's shirt.
Man, but it was a good promo by Masters. And
then
Carlito was scared.
And Carlito was like, it was an accident, man. And he was like, at least one thing, he's like, we worked together before, and you can trust me more than Michaels can trust Angle or something like that. And I was like, how can you trust this man? He just hit you in the nuts.
Well, it was for the title, and you knew it was inevitable. You knew it was going to happen.
All right. So now it's time for the next match of the night that Mark is doomed to hell. All right,
let's see.
Before it happened, it was Chavo Guerrero versus Rob Conway, a Royal Rumble qualification match. Now, first of all, everybody already know that Rob Conway was not winning a ticket into the Royal Rumble. I don't even know why they even put this cat against
him. And now this match was doomed to hell.
No, you can't doom it to hell because it's a possibility. Chavo was
good. No, look, about this match, I didn't say it was going to be a bad match. I said it's a useless match because everybody knew who was going to win.
Yeah, but
I didn't say it was going to be a bad match like I did the Trick
and not,
Ashley.
But it's not useless because there's a chance that Conway could have won.
The comment really getting in there. That's like dropping an Intercontinental title.
The bad thing about this match is that first Chavo did the skin the cat maneuver, but Conway kneed him outside the ring. But Conway missed a lot of bad spots. Like, Chavo did a hurricane on Conway. Chavo's already on the mat. And Conway's not flipping. It's
like a minute later, like, oh, I'm supposed to flip.
And then also, Conway pissed me off when he mocked Eddie Guerrero. I was like, you can't do that.
I didn't mind that as much.
You can't do that. So, of course, that's when Chavo whooped his ass. Led it to Three Amigos, got the frog splash. Chavo got a good reaction from the crowd. He's in the Royal Rumble to be eliminated real quick.
Yes, he's probably going to be like number... No, actually, I think he's going to go deep in the Rumble, but not come close to winning. No. I believe he's going to be like the 15th guy eliminated soon.
All right. So after this match, we go backstage because we already know two participants in the Royal Rumble, Chavo Guerrero and Rob Van Dam. So we already got two.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back. Oh, well, no. Triple H hasn't talked yet. Kurt Angle confronts Shawn Michaels about how he had seen a Ray to tap out, but Shawn nailed him with sweet chin music.
Now, let's go back to that special moment. Why did Shawn Michaels kick Angle in the face and stop Cena from tapping out in the middle of the ring in the Elimination Chamber?
Well, I don't know why, but Shawn brings up a very good point. Neither of them won the belt that night, so it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does
no,
matter.
No, it doesn't.
There's no reason. He blackouts like a man in the mirror and cut off the center building.
Shawn Michaels did it for the American people and the black people and
no,
Jesus.
He did it for nobody.
He did it for Jesus.
He made sure Angle wasn't going to be there. But Angle shouldn't have been the first.
Then Shawn was like he was concerned if he can trust Angle in their match tonight. Angle responded by asking Shawn the same thing, can I trust you? And He was like, yeah, you can trust me. Because I had this gold medal. That means I have integrity. He's like, what the hell? What you mean? That don't mean nothing. Yes,
and Daivari was not wearing a tie tonight. Daivari was very casual.
Then after this segment, they show Shelton in the back walking with his mama. And then they pass Val Venus.
Who she has seen in many movies.
And she
movies
said,
before.
I've seen him in many movies before. And Shelton's like, uh-oh. And then Val's like, oh, you have. You're a friend of my work. Was it Harry Trotter?
Yeah,
he started naming these weird things. And she's like, what? I'm not that type of person.
I'm a Christian woman.
Well,
she's becoming a stereotype, but that doesn't matter at this
and
point.
And then all of a sudden, she says that Shelton is going to teach Val Venus a lesson tonight in the middle of the ring.
Now, out of curiosity, she asked him earlier if he was a professional wrestler. He was standing there in his underwear. What if he wasn't a professional wrestler? Why would he be a wrestler standing there in the middle of the, I guess, I don't know where they were.
Now, I have a flaw with this angle, but when we get to the match, I'll get there.
There's lots of flaws in this angle.
No, not with the Shonen, but this whole match setup right here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll get to that when we get to that match. Chris Masters, Carlito versus Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle was the next match.
I don't see why they couldn't put this at the end of the show.
It was the best match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it's kind of
by far.
It's kind of crazy that the TNA best match was a tag match and this was a tag match. Before this match even started, Michaels and Kurt was arguing about who's going to start the match off.
Before this match even started, Carlito and Masters was fighting over, are you going to turn on me? And can I trust you? And
then they had a commercial break. Them coming out to the ring was hilarious, but it still wasn't. It's like, they got it together when the match started. Their friendship took over.
Yeah, Mr. Incredible. Indeed.
Okay, Shawn lands his elbow on Chris Masters and was tuning up the band, but Masters grabs the ref. That gives Carlito the opportunity to grab Shawn Michaels and pull his crotch against the ring post.
Mm-hmm.
Then Masters tags in Carlito. And, you know, because he just pulled his nuts into the ring post, he tries to pin Michaels, only gets a two count. Then he hits his backbreaker,
Yes.
His new move that they also do in TNA. I can't remember who does it in TNA.
Probably Roderick Strong, Eric.
I think it might be. But, for out of nowhere, Shawn lands his backdrop on Carlito, and he goes for the tag. But for some reason, at this point, Kurt Angle and Daivari are in the neutral corner discussing something going on with the fan. I don't know what they were doing.
Apparently, I believe, from my intelligence known, that fan threw something at Daivari and they had to point at him. to get that guy out of there.
So this allowed Carlito to go tag Masters. Master goes in, gives a gorilla press slam to Shawn Michaels, and signals for the Master Lock. Well, Michaels escapes from the Master Lock, lands a DDT, and went to go tag Angle. But this time, Angle is having an in-depth conversation with Daivari about his gold medal.
Yes, this my sources tell me this conversation was about which pocket did he want Daivari to hold it in, or did he want him to hold it in a pocket at all,
or did he want him to wear it around his neck?
Yes, that was the whole point. Because Daivari said he wasn't worried about the medal being around his neck. But he doesn't feel worthy because he's not as good as Kurt. Now, would it have been disrespectful if he put it in his back pocket or side pocket to Angle, and then they just decide that Daivari could just hold it all night?
And this whole time, Shawn Michaels lead a tag.
Yes, but unawarely, Kurt Angle doesn't know.
So, Shawn Michaels drags Angle disrespectfully inside of the ring.
Yes, he punches him, which the referee counts as a good tag.
And then drags him inside the ring and gives him sweet chant music.
Yes, he does.
And then Masters looks like, what the hell's going on? Let me put the Master Lock on him.
Yeah.
And then the disrespectful thing, this Shawn Michaels decides that he's going to walk out on Kurt Angle.
Laugh and point. And then before he leaves the arena,
Daivari goes, being the good manager, is, how can you leave him like that? And Shawn Michaels, that snake, kicks Daivari.
So it turns out Angle didn't turn on Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels turned on Kurt Angle.
It is not Angle's fault that fan threw something at Daivari and they had the point and that they did not know what pocket to put the medal in.
Yeah, they have to know where to put the medals and how to take care of it. That is an Olympic gold medal. You just can't have that in just your average pocket.
I mean, he could have had a booger rag in there or something. I mean, it makes sense. So Shawn Michaels, shame on you for doing what you did.
He always turns on his tab party. He did the same to Marginetti. He did the same to Hulk Hogan.
And then he screwed Brett.
Yes. Shawn Michaels is dark times.
Vince, being the good man that he is, he went backstage and confronted Shawn Michaels about that.
To enter their never-ending story.
Yeah, he said, walking out on angle, he said, it looks like that you're going back to your own ways, Shawn, where you only look out for Shawn Michaels. Then he announces that Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle will have a match next week because the series is tied one match apiece. When the hell did they start doing the series?
Well, Eric, this series has been going over a year. They've had that match at WrestleMania, the rematch, I can't remember the pay-per-view, the Iron Man match on Raw, and now we come to next week's Raw when they finally go for the last duel.
Now it's time to give the true superstar his shine on the show. It's time for 20 minutes with Triple H. Yeah, his Rebel.
I am the game, man.
But this
let
time,
me tell you, before, I don't remember the whole thing, but let me
I got it in detail for you, baby.
Let me say this, like, don't call me baby.
I got it in detail for you, baby.
Anyway, this is what he probably says. I am the game. I'm the Cerebral Assassin. I knew how I was going to take down the Big Show. I'm going to be the champion or something.
You know what the difference about this interview than any other game interview? Todd Grisham was there. He didn't need to be there, though, but he was there.
Yes. Can't remember the question he actually asked Triple H.
It doesn't matter. We're going to get into what Triple H said because the wise man had to speak because he went to the mountain and God spoke to him and he told him these things.
Yes.
He said that on last night's shows, the guy who held the belt for 9 months and no one thought could be beaten was beaten by someone not even in the title picture. Damn it. The truth was being spoke like by no other by right. Triple H.
Only like by Jeff Jarrett. But so for his truth is about management, which he's always right.
Yes. Then he said he was the only constant in the wrestling world because when he says it is going to, when he's going to do something, he does it. Damn it, he's so right.
Well, didn't he say he was going to beat Batista for the heavyweight title at WrestleMania?
That's a minor slip-up right there.
That was that one night he said.
That was that one night.
Then in the next pay-per-view, I think it was like Hell in a Cell, he loses that one.
You know what? Stop besmirching Triple H name, because I'm about to give you an example.
Then he said he was going to put Ric Flair down in the cage.
He said he was going to beat the Big Show, and he did.
That's the only thing he's done.
Shut up.
He has a losing record his last 100 matches.
Then he announced that he's going to be in the Royal Rumble. Not only is he going to be in it without qualifying, he's going to win it. And he's going to go to WrestleMania and win his belt back. And he didn't give a damn who the champion was.
Whether it was Ed, Cena, Michaels, God darn it, Netflix, I don't care.
I felt that man right there.
He says the same thing every week.
Him and JBL, just some of the best entertainers in wrestling.
So at this, no, it's not. JBL isn't in his league. Anyway, let me get to this point. Right now, the winner of the Royal Rumble is Triple H.
Damn right.
Apparently, he's going to win the Royal Rumble, which I don't hope to happen, but
I wouldn't mind having RVD and Edge versus RVD, but I don't think
these are the five people I want to win the Royal Rumble. I give it out right now.
Oh no!
And I'm probably gonna give it out the week.
Shelton Benjamin, is he one?
No, he isn't gonna be any. Not yet, because the Mama Shelton has put him back. These are the people.
Some people feel the Mama Shelton was a punishment by Vince.
Oh,
for how he was acting backstage.
Oh well, I don't care. Oh. Well, anyway, I want Rob. Randy Orton. I can't remember the list, but those two people are there. I can't remember at this time. I'm sorry.
Alright, let's move on to the next segment. They show Tori, Candice, and Victoria rolling around in the covers of the bed that is going to be used for the Edge segment. And then they show the video that the interview that he did after he won the belt, where he talked about he worked his ass off for 14 years to become the WWE champion, and he was going to celebrate the way he wanted, and that was by having live torch sex with Lita in the middle of the ring doing Raw. Mm-hmm. That's one hell of a way to celebrate.
Yes, yes, he is.
Now, it's time for the next match of the night. This is where I'm going to my flaw. It was Shelton Benjamin.
Benjamin?
Yeah, because I was about to say Val Venus. Versus Val Venus in a Royal Rumble qualifying match. Now, and we all know.
Here we go again.
Now, I guess I didn't notice. I know Triple H has the power to make matches important.
Yes.
But apparently, show mamas have the power, because she the one that made this match when she said that my boy's going to beat you. But somehow she had the power to make this a Royal Rumble qualification match.
Well, Vince McMahon doesn't want to have to deal with Shelton's mama. You know, she has that brick in her purse.
But see, the thing is, don't you think, because Val's a good worker, you could develop a feud with Val and Shelton, talking about don't accuse my mama of watching pornos, and just get rid of the mama, and Shelton and Val fight.
I don't know what they can do with Shelton at this point right now. Where are they going with him? At one point, Rob Van Dam needs to hurry up to come back, and that would be the perfect feud for Shelton at this moment in time.
All I gotta say, though, this was not the worst qualifying match of the night.
It wasn't?
No, it wasn't.
It couldn't have been nobody.
Yes, it was.
Was Snitsky and Kane fighting that?
Yeah, that's after
yes,
this one.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, anyway, okay, let's go into detail in this match.
Val attempts the money shot, but Shelton moves out the way. Shelton then attempts a roll-up, but only gets a two-count. Then Val attempts his own roll-up and gets a two-count. But Val made the mistake standing too close to the ring by the Jezebel woman. That Hope. That would...
JR, you can't call JR Mrs. Called, Benjamin a Jezebel.
I feel that JR would call that
no,
her Jezebel.
JR would laugh at this situation.
Oh, Black Bitty.
He'd be like, nah.
Well, but she pokes Val Venus in the ass with a hairpin, which sets Benjamin up for his T-bone suplex. Mm-hmm. And he wins the match. And he's in the Royal Rumble.
Yes, he is now in the Royal Rumble thanks to his mother. Do you think he knew she poked him in the butt? But this match could have been better if they did more, but it was okay match. My problem with the match is there was something I had with it. I don't care. Anyway, the funny part was Shelton is now a mama's boy, I guess. And now when Valvin punched him in the lip, he rolled outside and told his mama, he hit me in my lip right here. Mama, it hurts, it hurts. And in the whole match, she's yelling, destroy him, as though she's evil.
Promised him some collard greens, some sweet potato pie. She promised him everything but some sex.
Yeah, which was later on in the night, and which Shelton had to get his mama out the arena before this.
Let's get over to the next match, the next Royal Rumble.
What did you think of this match? We haven't said that much.
I didn't care. I just feel that it's unjust that the mama can make a Royal Rumble qualification match.
No. Agreed.
And then also, it kind of sucks that they didn't announce that it was going to be no Royal Rumble. I mean, this one, actually, this is the only real one that you really didn't know who the winner was going to be.
I knew who the winner was going to be. You tell me the truth. You thought Val Venus, Rob Conway, or Gene Snitsky was really getting into this Rumble.
I said this is the only one. No, well, because of Shelton losing streak.
His losing streak had ended at Revolution when he beat Vince.
It could have started back up again.
No, it wasn't starting back on Val Venus. Sorry, Val.
I'll put it this way. They should have had Val Venus for the pay-per-view and Viscera for this match. And I would have felt much better.
No, they shouldn't have Viscera for no match.
So
they could do Conway in there.
I want to put this way. Tomko could have been available. Kane versus Snitsky, Royal Rumble. Snitsky gives Kane a big boot, does nothing. Kane gets up, give him big boot, does something. Kane gets side slam, lands choke slam, pins Snitsky for the win. Kane is in the Royal Rumble, which would mean he will be eliminated first because the wrestlers will jump him.
I'm going to say the number he gets is 27.
Now it's time for what everybody's been waiting for. It's time for the sex in the middle of the ring.
No, you got to say it like the live torrent. Free my bridled and all that sex in the middle of the ring.
Now, I will admit that I actually fell asleep on wrestling at this point because I was tired. And I saw the sex scene in the kitchen with my grandfather, which was kind of crazy because the things that he was yelling out that we're not going to repeat. But the first thing, when Edge gets inside the ring, he yells, "The champ is here," which I thought was kind of fun because it's like a shot at John Cena in so many ways. He said that Lita and him refrained from having sex last night because they were going to do it in the middle of the ring for the fans
to enjoy. He pretty much went over everything that he was going to do that they already displayed on the show.
And then he showed a tribute video that was made.
A young Adam Copeland trying to strive into the business today. But let me tell you this about Edge. I knew he was going to be WWE champion as soon as he took out the Los Abrigas in his first night on wrestling. When he flipped on the rope and killed Miguel, I knew that man was going to be champion one day.
All right. So, after they showed the video, Edge and Lita started the process. They started to strip each other all the clothes. I was shocked, though, because Lita didn't have a thong on. Remember, that was her gimmick. That's what made her famous. She wore regular panties. What kind of shit was that?
No more thongs for Lita, Eric. That's her extreme days. She's no longer too extreme with Matt Hardy and Jeff.
So they get inside the bed. Edge takes off her bra, and they proceed to grind.
No, before this, the lights dimmed down, and they had the X-rated music playing.
Whatever. They don't need the music. So, you know, they start grinding and all that good stuff. And then, well, that's when they first went blank, because that's when nipple happened.
This is when he went down.
No. It
went blank here.
Yeah.
He went down.
And when they came back,
the panties in his mouth.
With the panties in his mouth. And JR, oh my, he's a man that like to go down.
Let me tell you this. It wasn't JR, it was Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler, my bad. Got JR on the brain. Then, the greatest thing that happened was Lita went down on him. And what was funny is that while she's doing her do, he grabs the belt, he licks at the belt, and then he spins it.
I don't know if he spins it.
I think he spins it.
If he spins it, and it was very X-rated, and Lita didn't actually do anything, but gave the appearance that she was doing it.
And then here comes an old man messing up somebody's action.
Should have been watching this at the time. If Edge can have sex, mom bought me a championship belt, I can do it too.
Ric Flair comes out to the ring and calls Edge a disgrace to the WWE championship.
In many ways.
My question was, because he was a disgrace because of how he won the belt, or because he was having sex in the middle of the ring?
No, he was a disgrace because he wasn't having sex right. That's what he got into.
Flair
intruded and said, why? Let me show you how to do it.
No, let me wait. Flair said it takes blood, sweat, tears, and years to prove to the people that you are championship quality. He said the only thing that Edge proved was that he was a bad champion and dead in bed. He said, you got nothing going on, Jack, I quote from Flair. Said he was going to show Edge how to do it right. Now, I recall I said I was watching this with my grandfather. He agreed totally with Flair and said that Edge couldn't do nothing with his knock. Don't know why this was
talking. I don't need my grandma talking about he don't know what he doing.
And then
this young fella don't know how to do it yet.
Then he encouraged Ric Flair to pull the blanket off of Lita. It was disturbing. He walked down to the ring. Him and Edge got into a scuffle. All this led to was a one-man concerto from Edge on Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happens, he's about to go for a second attempt, and John Cena comes out to the ring. Breaks it up, chases Edge out the ring, tells Edge to come back down, but Edge doesn't come back down. Then Cena realizes that Lita's still in the ring.
And now, before Cena came out though, the crowd, the whole entire crowd, was chanting, Cena, 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 which made me sick.
All right.
A true Cena hater would have stayed on the hater egg longer than these people did.
Marcus, you would just—you would have been chanting Cena until all Cena has said, tell the kids to kiss his ass.
Yes, I would have said that.
So, anyway, Edge, like I said, hopped the ring. He got his tie off the ring, but he left Lita in there. Cena looks at and realizes that Lita's in the ring. Looks under the cover, likes what he sees.
No, he says, not bad.
Not bad. Decides that, you know what? If I can't give Edge the F you, I'm going to give this heifer the F you. Gives Lita the F you, who put on
Rated R t-shirt or something.
And proceeded to, you know, that's how the show went off the air.
Yes. So now Cena hits women.
No. I think what's going to be
interesting. What do you mean, no? He gave her a fireman's carry, for Christ's sake.
Whatever. What's going to be interesting, though, is how Vince interprets this by, you know, because he did come out. So, does he lose his title shot at the Royal Rumble?
No, because, look, if you think about it, Ric Flair had come out first and ruined the sex already, meaning the sex was over because Edge had left the ring area, and Flair had came, and, you know, Flair came on and gave him the concerto, and then Cena came out, the crowd for anywhere, you know. And that was the end of the night, pretty much.
That was in the Raw. So now we're going to be right back with listener email.
No, didn't we say what we thought about the Raw?
Oh.
We can't just jump into the email.
I thought Raw was entertaining.
It was okay. It wasn't the best Raw.
I thought it was entertaining.
It wasn't as good as, I don't know.
I thought it moved storylines across. I just thought that the matchups were...
A lot of useless matches for
I just thought that the Royal Rumble matchups, qualifying matches, they could have did better. Like Chavo versus Shelton, maybe. But
also... There's another fact. Do you think that... What are they going to do with Flair? I mean, he's in the middle of the Edge and Cena feud. Did Edge eliminate Ric Flair, therefore make the Intercontinental Championship vacant?
I think so.
or is Flair going to come back and somehow interject himself more into the Cena-Edge feud and by screwing Edge at the Royal Rumble to let Cena have his title? Because I don't believe that Edge is going to keep that title after WrestleMania because they ain't even consider changing that belt.
I think that's the new title, unfortunately.
No, it's not. It can't be.
Why not?
That's the John Cena title. The new title has to be a solid title that says WWE Champion or, you know, something like
Marcus, we can save this conversation for the closing comments because that's next after listeners' email. Okay. So we'll be right back with a break. Welcome back, everybody. It's time for the last segment of the show, listener email, and our closing comments.
Now, this segment has been moved to the end.
Yeah, because I listened to some other podcasts, and it looks like that they do it all at the end of the show. Yeah. And it does make the show seem like it flows better.
And I have told you that we should did this in the end, like I normally say, but apparently you decide to have to listen to other podcasts that I'm not smart enough that at your other podcasters know what they're doing.
You said it, not me. Moving on to the first email we received from Silent Snow.
Yeah, no idea. You didn't listen to me.
You don't ever listen to me.
I listen to you sometimes. And we're not America. You don't listen to me anymore.
Well, like I was saying,
listen to you while you talk about shoes.
We received an email from Silent Snow Bunny. Unfortunately, we don't know her real name. She wants to know, she thinks we should get a MySpace account. A lot of wrestlers have MySpace accounts, such as the Hurricane, Steven Richards. I also saw Samoa Joe and all that good stuff. I'm not a big fan of MySpace. I actually do have a MySpace account.
Yes, we do.
I have a MySpace. We don't, the Sharpshooters don't have a MySpace. I have
one. I thought you made one for the Sharpshooters.
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah, you did. Because we do get spam from MySpace.
We do?
Yes.
Oh. I just never set it up.
No, you never really
set it up. So it might be a MySpace account. I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of MySpace. It really does nothing for me. I don't know. Yeah. So I don't think that it will... if we get enough people requesting us to have one, I guess we'll set it up.
This is the second person.
Yeah.
Omar first emailed. He was like, we should get a MySpace account. That's where you find wrestling. That's where we... I'm telling you. You got to set up, Eric.
Speaking of Omar, he had a question about heat and velocity because he has a Mac like me and want to know, are we watching the show on a Mac? Now, I actually emailed him and told him no because for some reason, the DRM that they use to encode the wrestling show doesn't work on a Mac because the Mac doesn't have Windows Media Player 10. So if you have a Mac, you're not able to watch heat and velocity. Which really sucks because you just eliminated a part of the market share.
But the small 7% of market
share. Most people don't care about the Mac. Who cares? We got new PowerBooks, bitches.
Well, the Mac, I respect the Mac and I like the Mac. I just don't use the Mac.
Because you scared.
Well, I'm afraid of the Mac. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
I'm afraid of all their special expose technologies and all that stuff.
Also, he wanted to know about what did we think. Him and also Floyd wanted to know about what did we think about the possibility of a TNA special occurring when Raw is preempted for a dog show. I think this is what I would call TNA best shot to get some of Raw fans.
Yes, because normally when the dog show came on USA, I was screwed for Monday nights.
I really think right here, TNA needs to bring out the best of TNA, which means no segments from Jarrett talking.
Yes. Jarrett better be in the ring having some type of match. Matter of fact, they can have a title change and to show that Jarrett isn't the only thing.
If you want, you can have an X Division night the whole night. Mm-hmm. You just really got to... You have to put your best show. I mean, they got to treat this show as a pay-per-view if Spike TV grants them the right to do the show.
I think they already have, and I think they will, because that would bring them more ratings for Saturday night.
I'll let you
and
got...
we'll probably push for them to get actually extra time on the show and on a different day, maybe even Thursday evenings, to compete with Dancing with the Stars.
I'll let you know. I will watch the TNA special.
Like you wouldn't watch the TNA record? I mean, what else is there to watch? Under 24, which is coming back January 15th. on the Fox Network.
I've been saying this is like Apple's chance. You know how Apple was moving in on Windows because of all the viruses and stuff? Yeah. This is their chance to move in. You know what? This is a side note, because you know I'm going to digress on this episode.
You digress.
Did you know that Apple are not preventing people from installing Windows on the computer? Actually, somehow Windows and Apple have some kind of agreement. Like, hey, do it. Do you know it's a win-win situation? You get the beauty of the Apple hardware support. Plus, you get the Windows for the Super Windows World. Too bad I can't afford a PowerBook. Now, if anybody would like to send donations to the Eric PowerBook,
we cannot do that. A donation.
This is about you.
No, you.
If anybody want to help Eric get a PowerBook, feel free to email me, and I will show you how to send money.
What? You can't beg for a PowerBook. That's not the sharpshooter way. You sold out, and you can't plug the Mac and say they're better than Windows. You got to say they're equal when you have no alliances to either.
I have alliance to the Mac. I'm a Mac guy.
Oh, yes.
I'm a Mac guy.
Yeah, you sold out.
I mean, some of the best software on the Mac, guess what it is? It's free. I mean, it's free software.
Oh, what does this have to do with wrestling?
It really has nothing. Oh! No, it has to do with wrestling? Because the only thing that they announced at the Macworld Expo that I am interested in is the new iLife suite, because the GarageBand has a podcasting feature in the thing where you can record. They have loops and everything. So I'm buying that when I get paid. So back to the email.
Okay. Well, no more Apple, right?
Huh?
No more of this Apple continue going on no more. Because I have no idea about you and your Mac and your limitations and your loyalties to the Mac Army, I guess it's called.
It's all Leo's port fault.
Just go back. Let's just go back to the email.
Now it's time for Floyd, which is our last email that we had. Oh, no, actually, it's not our last email. He said we had a great show. And he said that he hates pretty much all the storylines that are going on. Like, such as the Mysterio-Guerrero custody issue. Oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
He said the ridiculous and unnecessary storylines. He said the Mysterio-Guerrero custody issue. He said, imagine if this really happened to you. What if you are raising a child and you are in the same situation? What the bleep does this have to do with wrestling? How did this storyline enhance wrestling? And the point is, it didn't. I mean, let's put it this way. Instead of doing a custody brawl, how about Eddie Guerrero attacked his son or something?
Now you're for, see, that I was for hitting women apparently last week, and now you're for beating on kids.
Well, see,
no, this is what could have happened. Eddie's fighting Ray, and then they bop him, and his son's like, "Get out of the way!" And then Mysterio runs into him. You injured my son, or something like that.
That's to say that I said they injured.
Yeah,
the son.
But Eddie can't just go. Shut up.
But you know what
and
I meant.
Dominic turns on Ray in the end.
You know what
like,
I meant.
Yeah.
You know what I meant.
They didn't have to do
now,
that.
Now another story that I agree with is totally useless. The Tim White suicide. Who cares about Tim White? I mean, Tim White ain't been on TV. He's a referee.
Let me tell you this. I didn't know Tim White was going for until about 5 months ago. And I was like, what happened to old Tim White?
And then he got a good point. If you had a family who, a friend or something that lost to a suicide. I mean, let's say Tony Dungy, not to bring him up. Let's say he enjoyed
wrestling. Not to bring him up, you just did.
I know, but I mean, not to shout out, but let's say that he likes to enjoy wrestling. Do you really think he want to be reminded of someone trying to commit suicide considering that's what his son did?
No.
I mean, it's really insensitive. And Stephanie McMahon and the other boobs as Floyd
now commented. Now that she is pregnant and gone, I think that'd be better.
She's gone from the writing team?
Well, she's pregnant. I mean, she going to stay at home.
Hey, did you hear that Paul Heyman signed like a little contract extension to continue working in Ohio Valley? Yeah. But they don't know about him going up to whatchamacallit.
Okay.
Then also the Melina Batista sexual harassment angle. First of all, this it's not sexual harassment. It's rape that she's accusing him of. Secondly, if you were raped, do you really want to have this thrown in your face? And once again, how does this enhance your whatchamacallit? And then he brings up the point that she did, you know, and sue him, you know.
Yeah, they jested. It was useless, and now the audience is calling her a slut, which pretty much his email says. And now, what is hurting somebody else who gets raped from coming out and saying they got raped without being nervous or being called a slut?
And then the most important thing is like, and this is what I brought up, and I think I brought up in the episode, Why do you need to have your heavyweight champion have heat with a manager for a tag team? It makes no sense. Well, it made sense because he's hurt, but it's like, still, why?
Yeah, they could have just had him colliding to her or something. And then she accused him of actually getting hit or something, just a little bit. But not, like, to the extreme. Like, they're going to the over-the-topness that Joey Styles and a lot of other people are very upset about.
Now it's time to get off a wrestling rant because he had a question about in a football. And we like all sports. Marcus is actually considered doing a sports podcast.
Yeah, somewhat.
But I don't want to take the time to edit and all that good stuff. And he doesn't want to do it because the sharpshooter's a lot already.
Well, not much, but you know.
But Floyd wanted to know, he's a New Orleans State fan. And man,
that's tragedy.
That's tragedy enough that you a Saints fan. I mean, whoo, man.
I mean, what are the Saints? Oh, do you know I changed my answer to this question?
Oh, okay. He wants to know who should the Saints draft, Vince Young or Matt Leinart, and why.
Let's go with your answer first.
Well, first of all, I'm going to put it this way. I personally don't feel they should draft neither one.
Oh,
for the simple reason is because the Saints have a lot more issues than quarterback. I mean, Deuce McAllister, their running back, when's the last time he was healthy? Your marquee receiver is Joe Horn. Second, I can't think of one person on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, there's so many holes in this team that drafting a quarterback will not help. Only thing drafting Vince Young would do would be selling tickets, and he probably won't be available. Matt Leinart is, to me, a better quarterback in the sense of a pure quarterback, but he's not going to bring tickets. And I think what they need to do is trade their pick, because I'm not even sure what pick they have.
I think it's like second. Second or third? I'm not sure.
I don't think they have the second because I think the 49ers get the second.
No,
pick.
I don't think they get second. I think they won. It doesn't matter. Let's just go.
Well, they're in the top five. I think they should try to trade their pick to get more of a veteran player to prove, like, with Oakland, go get Kerry Collins.
No!
I mean, Kerry Collins
don't
is bad.
Don't bring up the Raiders there.
I mean, you just. I just don't see. But if you know what? The question was, who would I pick? I would pick Matt Leinart. Reasons why I would pick Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart has played in the more NFL-style offensive scheme because at USC, he has to pass. Vince Young...
He doesn't have to. He has Bush and...
No, but I mean, like, but still, he's a more traditional quarterback. It's a more style that they play in the NFL, pocket passer, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Vince Young, on the other hand, I'm not doubting the man's talent. He's going to sell tickets. But the point is, when you look at the Texas team, his receivers are huge. I mean, he just has to throw the ball, and they usually get it. Not saying that he never put the ball in the spot, but I don't want him to end up. I think it's more chance for him ending up like Michael Vick or the Cordell Stewart, the infamous Cordell Stewart.
You just made me think of Marcus Vick.
Yeah, and Marcus Vick.
Don't think of Marcus Vick. That's the tragic story.
I just think that for Vince Young, the Saints will be a bad area for him to go to.
How long is your answer going to be?
Go ahead, Mark.
What is this thing?
Because I have.
It was a quick.
You know, me and sports. You know how I go.
You don't supposed to just get
so my I would go with Matt Leinart. So stop ran on my thing and go with
and
yours.
And now, here I go with my pick. I at first said, you know what? Since me seeing a lot of Matt Leinart, and I was like, Matt Leinart. But then something hit me in the head and was like, no. Vince Young would be perfect for his team. Onto the fact that they need so much. I think Vince Young has more ability and more athleticism, and he can run the ball and throw the ball, and that would help the Saints as Michael Vick has helped the Falcons, because Michael Vick has carried the Falcons since he got there, well, since his second season, and Jim Mora Jr. took over, and has worked for the Falcons, who were a dead franchise until he got there, and I believe Vince Young could do that for them. That's all I'm going to say on that.
He can sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Vince
Young. He can sell tickets and he can do what Vince
does. No, I think Vince Young, what he can do is he can rejuvenate a city that has been devastated. I mean, I think picking him up is a. If, you know what? I think Leinart's the better quarterback, but I think for the situation, Young is the pick to pick.
And I wish the Saints were in L.A. right now, but that's a different story. That is a totally different story.
All right,
now,
because Mark is trying to take a team that has been devastated, let's move on to our last email from the Dub Censored. The most dangerous listening in wrestling and podcast, Dr. Dre.
Who emails be edited down to some extent that can't say them sometimes,
everything.
But then sometimes we do.
Let's put in this email. He says the Jackie Gaynor angle is stupid. We agree.
Mm-hmm.
He asks if Sting even exists.
Who just like Drew because what is he doing to me?
Did you guys see the promo for the match? It had Christian and then the Sting symbol.
No, but then they had that guy with the short hair and Sting. I hope he doesn't have short hair like that.
He called Marcus gay again, but he left him off the hook because he said Marcus wanted to be in a porno, but then it was like, was it a gay porno? Then he said...
Is it the same one? Because then he said another one?
Yeah, but the other one was too... It was too sensitive. It was too much in it.
Was it?
Yeah, Dre just had a bunch of rants, and it was like no points. This is when he made points.
Then, you sure?
Yeah. Then he said he doesn't like the Bullet Bob angle because it's weak. It's fake as hell. Why are you setting up a feud between these guys, and everyone's getting sick of K-Dog or Conan. And he just wants to see a New Age Outlaw reunion. He said he's been disappointed with TNA. I have also. Vinnie Mac, he said he liked the firing, but now it's just getting stupid. Mm-hmm. And his top five GM picks, Stone Cold versus Shane, Vince, Steph, and Linda. Ted Turner and Bischoff, I don't know what that means. Dusty.
You remember that? When Ted Turner was against Bischoff being an owner at one point, and then they brought in that other guy.
I think Dusty has the number one chance of being a GM. I agree with him. And he's not a fanboy. He's a listener. I agree with you. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Dre. Keep the emails coming. Just remember that we will be censoring some of your emails because we can't read everything.
Yeah, because I'm getting called a homo in every episode.
Well, that's like your thing now.
Because it's actually funny now, because I'm in my show, before I say something, I can see that, what can he turn on me to say that I'm gay?
Like your Sting comment? Like you enjoy seeing him in the bright pink and
stuff? Yes, that's why I paused before I said it. I paused like, oh, he can turn that one on me. But now I'm trying to think and try to outsmart him, and that I think I can become claim victor in this war.
You know what?
Words.
I think we rambled on long enough. I'm done for this show. Stick a fork in me. My throat is dry.
Closing statements, or these are our closing statements?
I have none. The emails took it out of me.
These were our closing statements.
If I have some closing statements, it will be done in on the next episode.
All right, tune in to SmackDown this week, I guess.
Yeah, for the find out who the new champion is.
Yes, for the spoiler. And go to WWE.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Website, thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. You can go on there and probably vote on a poll. Hopefully he has it up there. Vote for us at Cass Alley, I voted this month for the first time. Eric's lights are getting ready to go off.
All right, hold on. We got to hear it because we don't want a blackout to happen.
Yes, whenever it blinks like that, lights seem to come off.
So I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we're the Sharpshooters. We'll see you guys next episode.
Episode 34?
No, 35.
35, the sequel.
And you didn't even have nothing to steal from nobody this week.
No, I'm stealing it. I only do it on the Saturday show.
All right, we'll see you guys then. See you. Bye.